Good morning, everyone. I'm R.W. Estella with a word in Edgewise. Today is the 21st of July, the 202nd day of 2025. We have 163 days ahead of us on our way to 2026. Plenty of time, you might say, to finish off our summer, successfully navigate through autumn, and then end the year with a week and a half or so warming up to winter. We don't have all that much time, however, when we consider congressional efforts afoot to cancel previously approved funding for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Sure, it's only $1.1 billion, but parceled out to hundreds of community radio and television stations across the U.S., those funds have been a meaningful part of alternative media. Our nation's executive branch cites bias as its rationale for bullying the legislative branch into not honoring the previous approval of said funding. A little investigation into that loaded word is worth a moment here. According to the Oxford English Dictionary, the word bias has developed meanings and uses over the past half millennium in a variety of subjects, including textiles, geometry, bowls, physical sciences, cricket, statistics, magnetism, mechanics, electronics, genetics, and sound recording. Etymologically, bias borrows from the French biais, meaning a slant, a slope, an oblique, and before that was the old Provençal biais, meaning sideways, askance, against the grain. Reaching way back, we find bias is derived from the Indo-European root skir, meaning to cut, to turn, to bend. In other words, everything has a degree of bias. Even the most scientific of studies or methods, considering themselves as exercising the utmost objectivity, nonetheless retain an inherent bias. After all, a scintilla is still something. King Solomon, purportedly the author of the biblical masterpiece Ecclesiastes, uses the word vanity instead of bias. Thus saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Early on in chapter 1, we're told, and there is no new thing under the sun. Then, by chapter 3, we're given an accounting of human nature's general habits and conditions amid forces greater than us. Folk rock music used these notions in the famous 60s song, Turn, Turn, Turn. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what has been planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Heavenward, tomorrow before sunrise, look into the eastern sky for our waning crescent moon to appear between the brilliant planet Venus and the bright planet Jupiter. Slightly to the right and above this trio will be the bright red star Aldebaran. On Thursday morning, we have our new moon, as well as a chance to see the convergence of the Delta Aquaride meteor shower and the Perseid meteor shower, the former peaking this week and next, and the latter peaking toward the middle of August. Today in 1613, Mikhail Romanov was crowned Tsar of Russia, founding the Romanov dynasty. Today in 1669, English philosopher John Locke's Constitution of English Colony Carolina was approved. Today in 1853, New York City's Central Park was created when the state legislature set aside more than 750 acres on Manhattan Island. Today in 1919, Dutch aviation pioneer Antony Fokker established his new aircraft company in Amsterdam. Today in 1930, the U.S. Veterans Administration was formed. Today in 1943, the musical film Stormy Weather, starring Lena Horne, Bill Robinson, and Fats Waller, premiered in the U.S. Today in 1957, Althea Gibson became the first black to win a major U.S. tennis tournament. Today in 1960, Siri Maoof Bandaranaike became the first woman prime minister on earth when she took office in Ceylon. Today in 1961, Gus Grissom of Project Mercury became the second American to enter space. Today in 1973, Major League Baseball player Hank Aaron hit his 700th home run. Today in 1899 in Oak Park, Illinois, medical doctor Clarence Edmonds Hemingway and his musician wife Grace Hall Hemingway welcomed into the world their first son, Ernest, who was the second of their six children. Ernest's father, Clarence, enjoyed fishing and hunting, interests which young Ernest would share. But his mother, Grace, felt that Ernest and his one-year-old sister, Marceline, resembled one another strongly. So, following the Victorian convention of not differentiating children's clothing by gender, Grace did what she could to make the two siblings appear as twins, keeping Ernest's hair long and dressing both children in similarly frilly feminine clothing for the first several years of their lives. Ernest earned good grades in high school English and edited the school's newspaper and yearbook, and after graduating, he worked 6 months as a cub reporter for the Kansas City Star before trying to enlist to fight in World War I, though he was not accepted because of his poor eyesight. So instead, he signed on as a volunteer ambulance driver with the American Red Cross Motor Corps in Italy, where he was seriously wounded in both legs by shrapnel. Following his six-month recuperation, Ernest returned to the States, freelanced for the Toronto Star Weekly, married Hadley Richardson, and with her returned to Europe as a foreign correspondent for the Toronto Star. Living in Paris then as a journalist, he was befriended by F. Scott Fitzgerald, Ezra Pound, Ford Madox Ford, John Dos Passos, James Joyce, and Gertrude Stein, who along with others helped him become a successful novelist, encouraging him to use his various adventures as material for works such as The Sun Also Rises, A Farewell to Arms, For Whom the Bell Tolls, and The Old Man and the Sea. Eventually, he would win Pulitzer and Nobel Prizes for literature. Ernest Hemingway remarked, "Always do sober what you said you'd do drunk. That will teach you to keep your mouth shut." Today is also the birthday in 1899 of American poet Hart Crane, in 1922 of English actress Molly Sugden, in 1924 of American actor Don Knotts, in 1929 of American jazz vocalist Helen Merrill, in 1931 of American jazz pianist Sonny Clark, in 1933 of American writer John Gardner, in 1938 of the first woman U.S. Attorney General Janet Reno, in 1945 of American singer-songwriter Rosie Hamlin, in 1948 of British singer-songwriter Cat Stevens, and of American political cartoonist Gary Trudeau, in 1951 of American actor and comedian Robin Williams, and in 1953 of American rock singer, songwriter, and guitarist Eric Bazillion. From Orono, Maine, I'm R.W. Estella with a word in Edgewise, welcoming this fifth full week of summer and the 30th week of 2025. Keep the faith.